Chapter 4. The Asker Mountain Range Terror. The trio of gunships chased the sun as it fell over the mountaintops. Air vibrated in their wake. Beneath them, the stacked Hab archipelagos glimmered with pinprick illuminations. The yellow of the gunship's hulls was lost in the low light. In the cockpit of the lead craft, the pilot blink-clicked a marker rune.
"Waypoint 7 reached," said the pilot into the vox. "Turning on my mark. All weapons live. Launch ready."
A second later, the trio banked as one. In the lead gunship, Arcamus checked the weaponry clamped to his armor. Kestros and the two assault squads mirrored him. The side hatch slid open. Air rushed through the cabin space. Andromeda sat next to the door, legs crossed, chrome hair braided and coiled on her head. She wore an armored body glove under her ragged gray robes, which billowed in the rushing air. A rebreather mask hid the lower part of her face, but Arcamus was sure she was smiling. She glanced up at him and jerked her head towards the ground, turning beneath them.
"Is it always like this?"
she called, voice loud across the vox.
"Like what?"
asked Arcamus. She laughed in reply, just as she had laughed when he had said that she should not be with the strike force. He had no idea why either incident was humorous. It had taken them only a few hours to identify their lead. The atrocity at Damocles Starport had been committed by a cell of infiltrators posing as trade haulers. The cargo vehicle that had carried the hallucinogen had borne the Hyson cartel's markings, and the human operatives had worn Hyson colours. Such things were simply costume, easily engineered and faked given time. What was not so easily faked were the shipment and clearance codes used to pass within Damocles' cargo lock. Those markers were the means by which each of the houses maintained its power, each a token of old pacts between trader and port. The hauler had the correct code, and its arrival had been scheduled in the cartel's ledgers. That was a mark of complicity, as clear as a brand on a thief's face. It was too obvious, though. It had taken Andromeda, Kestros, and Arcamus 20 minutes to conclude that the Hyson had been betrayed and used. It had taken them another 27 minutes to find the trail of their true quarry. Dowager Sun Hyrakro was not really one of the Hyson. Within Terra's trade dynasties, blood was everything. The line on consanguinity bound the great houses. Members of the family held all positions of power or potential with direct blood ties to one another. A hireling might be very useful to a dynasty and even win lavish reward, but they could never hope to inherit true authority or a stake in the dynasty's concerns. Only those of the blood could do that. It was a system that had served the Hyson and their peers for centuries. There was, however, one other role that an outsider could fulfill. Marriages brought a level of status close to that of a full-blooded family member. Creating children who bore the blood of the dynasty strengthened that bond. They became honorary family members, afforded privileges and even a measure of responsibility. If their full-blooded spouses died, they became dowager sons or daughters of the clan. Their blood ties broken, they were relegated to luxurious exile. That was what Hyrakro was, and it had been he who had arranged the clearance for the cargo crawler containing thousands of litres of hallucinogen gas to enter Damocles Starport. The gunship's flight flattened out. The slopes of the mountains had risen up to meet them, so that now they were skimming low above the roofs of buildings that marched up the mountainside in crowded tiers. Vast water pipes snaked between the buildings, climbing to the towers that marched across the summits. The sky on the other side of the mountain was still bright, but they were riding in twilight. Walled compounds capped the highest peaks, breaking the line of reservoir towers. The compounds had been the estates of the Lord Aquarians, but their power was lost to the Emperor, along with their water, and others now lived behind the walls they had built.
"Closing on target,"
came the pilot's voice.
90 seconds.
Arcamus glanced at Kestros and nodded. They stood. Maglocks thumped free of armor. The hatches at the front and rear of the compartment opened.
"All specs reads slaved weapons and sensors."
Archimus could feel the weight of Oathword in his grasp. He glanced to the building tops flashing by beyond the open hatches.
Entering defense weapon range. Weapons locked and ready to fire.
For the Imperium,
called Kestros over the vox.
For Terra!
And the night vanished in a flash and roar of launching rockets. Alpharius crouched as the first rocket went overhead. It hit a turret tower on the curtain wall above him and blew it to shrapnel. Las cannon blasts cut through the dark, slamming into targets deeper in the complex. He had missed the sound of the approaching gunships, but he could hear them now. They roared overhead, accelerating as they turned above the mountaintop compound. Three of them, one Fire Raptor and two Storm Eagles. The trio of aircraft rose into the rays of the setting sun. They were coming around fast. The Fire Raptor's flank cannons hurled shells down into the space beyond the curtain wall. Alpharius could hear the rounds slamming into stone slabs. An alarm was blaring. As he watched, the Storm Eagles broke away, turning, thrusters flaring as they spun lower and lower. He could see their open assault ramps. He had to move fast. His mission was never going to be clean, but now there was a real chance of its failure. He ran up the scree slope between him and the curtain wall and pulled the explosive charge free from his back. The Storm Eagle was right overhead now, and he could see a figure on the rear ramp, light glinting off its yellow armor. That was not optimal. The gunship circled above the roof of the compound's main building. The figure at the rear assault ramp jumped. Alpharius reached the wall and slammed the charge into the smooth stone. He dived aside. Above him, the Fire Raptor's guns went silent. The charge detonated. The blast wave thumped out. Stone dust and flame licked across Alpharius's armor as he rose and spun through the breach, weapon in hand. Kestros leapt after Archimus. The stone of the roof cracked beneath them as they landed. Kestros was up and moving a second before Archimus. Lasfire bit the cracked floor beside him and splashed across his shoulder. The Storm Eagles slid across the air above them, thrusters churning the smoke. His squad brothers were dropping from the doors and ramps, scattering across the compound. Some were already firing. Kestros saw the first guard come out of the smoke in a blur of dull silver plates and blades. It was bigger than Kestros, a hulking mass of abhuman flesh coated in armor. A mask covered its lump of a head, white and featureless apart from two eye slots. A red blaze ran diagonally between the eyes. Its right fist was a spool of chromed chains, its left a churning mass of blades.
Gene bonded stock, he thought. Tough and loyal to the last.
Kestros brought his bolt pistol around. The abhuman swung faster. Kestros flinched aside, but not fast enough. A length of chain whipped free of the abhuman's fist and wrapped around Kestros's arm. The bolt pistol fired. The abhuman yanked him towards its grasp. Kestros's forearm crashed into the blank mask as he cannoned forwards. White ceramite shattered. The abhuman's head flinched and then crashed back into Kestros's faceplate. His eyepieces shattered. Armor crumpled, air vented into his face. The chain around his arm was tightening, pulling him into the abhuman's bulk. He heard the motor driving the creature's blade fist gun to life.
Left!
Growled Archimus's voice across the vox. Kestros yanked left with all his strength. The abhuman pulled back, muscles bunching beneath armor, chain biting. Archimus's mace struck the abhuman's right knee. Armor and flesh exploded in a ball of lightning. The armored brute fell, its pain booming from its throat. The chain loosened. Kestros rammed the pistol muzzle against the abhuman's arm and fired. The burst of shells sawed the limb from the body in a spray of meat and bone. He shook the chain from his arm and ripped his ruined helm from his head. The air stank of blood and smoke. A ragged hole lay open in the roof in front of them. A rocket had struck and punched a hole through metal and stone. Smoke and screams rose up from within. Archimus was at its edge, bracing to fire down into the ruin beneath. Kestros heard the distant boom of an explosive charge detonating as he dropped through the hole. The space beyond the curtain wall was a charnel house. Chunks of flesh and pulped meat painted the shattered stone. Alpharius could pick out scraps of fabric amongst the remains, white and red, the colours of the man who owned the estate. The household guard had poured out of the manse to man their positions when the first rocket had hit. The fire raptor's cannons had caught them in the open and turned them to red slime and tatters. There were still some alive in the compound and keep, though. Gunfire boomed and echoed through the smoke and dust. One of the Imperial fists came around the corner, chainsword spinning. If the warrior was shocked at the sight of Alpharius, he did not pause. His bolt pistol roared. The round punched Alpharius off his feet. He felt bones and carapace break. Shards of his chest plate stabbed into him. The fall saved him. The second shell passed over his head. He hit the ground. The bulk of his weaponry slowed him as he instinctively tried to roll to his feet. The Imperial fist was advancing on him. Alpharius drew and fired his Vulkite Serpenta pistol. Circles of red energy radiated from the barrel an instant before the main beam ignited. It struck the warrior in the chest. The armor plate blistered. Then the beam cut through to the flesh beneath in a flash of ash and heat. Alpharius pulled himself up and ran forwards, clamping the Serpenta to his thigh and pulling the missile launcher from his back. It was an exotic variant, designed to fire from the hip rather than the shoulder. He triggered the launcher's suspensor web, and its weight vanished. The wall of the compound's main keep loomed out of the smoke. Gunfire flashed in the high windows. Above him, the gunships circled like vultures above a dying animal. Alpharius steadied himself and aimed the launcher upwards. Targeting runes and distance calculations aligned in his eyes. The silhouette of a gunship was clear against the darkening sky. Confusion. That was always the key. No weapon had slain more heroes nor brought so many of the mighty low. He smiled at that simple truth and keyed the firing stud. Arcamus landed in the ruin of a dining hall. Splinters of polished wood and painted porcelain covered the floor. Threat runes lit red at the edge of his sight. He fired as he rose, one round into each of the three uniformed guards, and then he was up and moving. A stream of data filled his ears and eyes. "Outer zone's clear," came the voice of one of the squad leaders who had taken the curtain wall. "No sign of primary target. Resistance heavy." It had been 20 seconds since they had dropped into the compound. 98 since the first rocket strikes. He reached a set of wooden doors and went through them. A pair of guards in white, black, and red armor were running down the corridor beyond. Arcamus's bolt took the first, a shot over his shoulder the second.
"Do you have him?"
came Andromeda's voice in his ear. She was on one of the Storm Eagles, circling above the compound. The roar of the gunship's engines spilled over the link.
"No!"
shouted Kestros before Arcamus could reply. The passage curled before them. Cobweb-veiled faces of stone watched them pass from niches, and dust shook from the arches above.
"He will be running,"
she replied, as though she had not heard.
"Well, there's nowhere for him to run to," called Kestros.
"There will be a passage, a hidden way."
A clanking sound filled the air as metal shutters began to drop across the passage in front of them. A hatch opened in the ceiling above, and an autocannon swung down into the passage. The barrel turned towards them, targeting beams, red lines in the smoke. Arcamus fired. The cannon detonated. Secondary explosions rolled fire across the ceiling. He felt the blast of heat through his eyepieces and blinked.
"Well, they seem in the mood to fight rather than to run,"
shouted Kestros.
"Not Hyrakro," said Andromeda's voice. "He is a coward. The only reason they are fighting is so that he can get away."
"Why are you so sure?"
cut in Arcamus before Kestros could answer.
"I understand the nature of his weakness,"
was all she said. The first shutter was almost at the ground when he reached it. Arcamus brought Oathword down on the closing barrier. The head of the mace ripped through to the plasteel, and he rammed his way through the breach.
"Where would such a tunnel be?"
Arcamus grunted, as he shouldered through the splintered metal. Rounds exploded across his shoulders and chest. Lead stub rounds mashed themselves to flat discs on the ceramite.
"Wherever he sleeps,"
answered Andromeda.
"Why?"
began Kestros.
"Humans like to feel safe when they sleep. The chance of escape is comfort."
Arcamus did not understand the answer, but he did not have time to question it. They were burning time, and every second gave Dowager son Hyrakro more chance of escaping.
"Squad Tancred, hold perimeter,"
called Arcamus across the command vox.
"Squad Sotaro, converge on my location, maximum speed."
"Arcamus!"
Andromeda's shout filled his ears. All humour and laughter had gone from it. Now there was just urgency bordering on panic.
Harkamus! There is someone else in the compa...
Lord! Said the voice of one of the Storm Eagle's pilots.
There is...
The first breath of an explosion blew across the Vox. And then there was just the roar of static. The light of the fireball flashed across the sky. Alpharius had not watched the missile strike home. He was already moving towards the main block of the compound. He twisted as he ran, the trio of blind grenades looping high from his hand. The missile launcher bounced against his hip, almost weightless in its suspensor harness. He switched missile type. Behind him, the blind grenades exploded. Clouds of dead, grey fog stole the light of falling fire. He put a crack missile into a doorway in the building wall. The armored door ripped from its frame and spun into the space beyond. Alpharius was through it, already selecting a third type of missile. A hulking figure loomed out of the pall of dust and smoke. Alpharius had an instant to see a mask of red and white set atop a muscle and armor bloated torso. He fired without slowing down. The missile exploded in the abhuman's chest. There was a dull boom, and a rush of indigo steam stained the smoke as the bio-acid in the warhead reacted with the abhuman's blood. Alpharius ran on, the scream of agony draining into a wet, gurgling whimper behind him. Kestros flinched as the Vox cut out.
What?
He began, but Arcamus was sprinting to the next shutter, barring their path. Lightning wreathed the mace in his hand. Two blows and he was through. The Vox was a skidding mass of static and scraps of voices.
Someone else is here,
called Arcamus. The pistons in his bionics were thumping as he ran. Kestros was following, but the whirl of events was closing around him. It felt strange, vile, like being tossed into a sudden squall at sea, like being out of control. He glanced around as he ran. The walls were curving tighter. The floor was on a slight tilt. The details matched the plans he had memorized before the attack. They were curving down towards the portion of the building set directly on the tips of the mountain's peak.
We should hold for Sotaro,
he called, but Arcamus did not answer. The walls suddenly flared out into a broad space before a set of double jade doors.
Hold close,
Arcamus shouted, and struck the door. Jade and plasteel shattered in a storm of lightning and surging armor plates. Kestros uttered an oath and followed. The chamber ballooned around them, hung with tattered tapestries. A circular pool of soft cushions sat at the far end, surrounded by a forest of jugs, chalices, and bottles. The room smelt of perfume and dusk, and dark wine was spreading across the floor in a bruised lake. A dozen guards in white carapace were crouched behind pillars to either side. On the far side, Kestros could see seven more guards clustered around a squat man wrapped in thick red fabric. Dowager Sun Hyrakro looked back at Arcamus with wide eyes set in a quivering face. Lasfire fell on them as Kestros came through the door beside Arcamus. Shards of marble exploded from the impacts of their strides as they ran. Kestros felt a burning slap as a lasbolt skimmed his scalp. His armor was singed from the heat of countless impacts. Arcamus struck the first guard he reached with a blow that turned body to vapor. Kestros turned the other way, lacing bolts into the guards on the other side of the chamber. He was about to turn his fire onto the other side of the room when a section of wall exploded inwards. Alpharius came through the hole blown in the wall of Dowager Sun Hyrakro's private chamber a heartbeat after the missile hit. His visor fuzzed for an instant, and then it was alive with threat runes. He fired into the center of the room. Another missile kicked free of the launcher. Lasfire strobed in the murk. The missile hit the wall, and a fresh bloom of blind fog blended with the spreading dust from his entry. He was as blind as his enemy now, but he had the advantage. His mind and perceptions had narrowed. Principles of war and strategy shrunk to tactics and choices made in the blink of an eye. He had to complete the kill. He had to confirm it. Anything else meant failure, and he would not, could not fail. He was Alpharius. He was Legion. Arcamus had almost been in reach of the cluster of guards around Hyrakro when the wall blew in behind him. The blast caught him in mid-stride. The guards around Hyrakro were 11 paces away. He could see the wobble of the man's jowls, see the stain of wine on his graying beard and the pupils blooming wide in his eyes. If he had had to kill the human, he could have done it then. He could have put a bolt through the man's skull before the man realized he was dead. That was not an option, though. Hyrakro had to live. A blind missile detonated against the wall. Dull white-grey fog poured through the room. One instant he could see, and the next, whiteness was pressing against his eyes. Time slowed for him. His mind sharpened to a few simple thoughts and instincts. A new enemy had entered the situation. It did not matter who it was. They were irrelevant. All that mattered was that he did not fail. In part of Alcamus's mind, a part that he was aware of but not listening to, he knew that it must be the Alpha Legion, that they had shot his gunships from the sky, and that they would make sure Hyrakro died before speaking his secrets. He knew all this and listened to none of it. Purpose needed no reason. He stopped. Armor, bionics, and muscles locked steady. His bolter replaced the mace and pistol in his hands without a thought. He did not need to look at Kestros to know that the sergeant was standing at his back, facing outwards, bolter in hand. Their thoughts in that instant were a mirror, fused by the blood in their veins and the way of war they were both forged in. If in doubt, hold ground. If in confusion, wait for the enemy to show their hand. Old truths that were as much a part of him as his blood and breath. They waited as the instant slid into seconds. Alpharius could hear the buzzing purr of power armor thrumming through the fog, and the shallow breaths of the humans trying to control their fear. The fog stole all but the most basic sense of direction. But it was enough. He swung the barrel of the missile launcher up, selected a frag missile, and fired. The explosion pulsed through the fog, staining it black and red for a second. He ducked to the side. Lasfire buzzed out, wild and undirected. He could hear screaming. Enough to guide his aim again, though. He thumbed the launcher's selector to the last of his bio-acid missiles. A burst of bolt rounds ripped through the fog. Explosive shells tore the chamber floor in front of him. Stone splinters spun into the smoke. A round exploded beside his foot and pitched him sidewise. The bolter fire switched tone as a second gun picked up after the first without a missed beat. It sprayed high. Alpharius began to move forwards again. Too late, he realized his mistake. Another burst, waist height, shells buzzing as they cut the air. The blind fog was thinning. Light flashed through the murk. Sounds became sharper. His advantage was dissipating. He pulled his serpenta free and began to fire, pulsing the beam through the fog, feathering it at random. Then he was up and running. Alcamus stopped shooting. Kestros laced fire into the smoke without missing a beat. The magazine fell from Alcamus's bolter as he snapped a fresh one into place.
"Back 5 meters," he called.
Kestros's fire hammered out as they pivoted and stepped in unison. Volkite beams scattered past. Alcamus opened the vents in his helm. He could smell spilled alcohol on the air. Glass and crystal crunched beneath their feet. The blind fog was thinning, his sight pushing further out by the second. The pool of silk cushions was next to them, folds of fabric stained by wine and scattered with rock dust. The Volkite fire ceased. He heard the noise of heavy strides and buzzing power armor at the same instant that the thinning fog parted before him. Hyrakro was there, his cluster of guards ringing him, guns raised, heads and eyes twitching. They saw Alcamus, and the gun muzzles turned. He heard a shout of alarm from behind him and turned his head in time to see an armored figure loom into sight. Fog clung to the indigo-blue armor, scattering light from green eyes in a blank helm. The bulk of a hip-slung missile launcher hung in its hands. Kestros swung his gun around. Alcamus surged towards the ring of guards. Alpharius's targeting runes locked onto the man ringed by guards. Hyrakro, Dowager son of the Hysen cartel, looked up, his face painted red by the converging crosshairs. Alpharius's thumb tensed on the trigger stud. One of the Imperial fists leapt forwards, and the target vanished from view. He switched missile instantly and fired. The crack missile kicked free of the launcher as a second legionary burst from the remaining fog. He began to turn, but the warrior cannoned into him. He staggered. The Imperial Fist was bareheaded and snarling, face marked with dried blood and soot. Alpharius pivoted, caught his balance and kicked out, stamping into the warrior's chest. The Son of Dawn was faster. The bolter in his hands roared, ripping through the missile launcher and shredding the front of Alpharius's armor. Alarms screamed in his ears. He could feel numbness washing through him as his body hid the damage from his awareness. Instinct snapped in. The Imperial Fist had dropped his spent bolter and pulled a chainsword from his waist. The blade spun to life and rose as Alpharius drew and fired his serpenta. The beam hit the legionary in the side of the chest and blew the ceramite to dust. Flesh flashed and cooked beneath. The chainsword blow crashed into Alpharius's shoulder guard. Sparks churned into the air as the blade skidded across ceramite. He lashed out, hammering a knee into the wound in the Imperial Fist's torso and forcing the warrior back. Alpharius pistoned his knee into the wound again and again. Burned blood and scraps of flesh stuck to his knee plate. Ribs and carapace cracked. Shards of bone punched into soft meat and blood speckled the ground. The legionary tried to grip him, but Alpharius shifted his weight and ripped the warrior from the ground, sending him skidding back towards the door. He did not rise. Alpharius turned, his blood splattering from his wound. The other Imperial Fist was almost amongst the bodyguards surrounding the target, blocking a clear shot. The dissipating blind smoke was a haze in the air. He aimed and fired. The head of one of the bodyguards exploded, fragments of skull and flesh hitting the human's comrades and ripping into their exposed flesh. Alpharius moved forwards, pain screaming from his dying flesh. Arcamus struck the surviving bodyguards. Oathward's power field was deactivated, but the first human it struck broke and fell like a sodden rag. He felt the blow as a tremble through the servos of his bionic arm. He reversed the blow and crushed the head of another guard and stamped another to red ruin. Dowager son Hyrakro was screaming now, keening like a wounded animal. Blood flecked his face as he scrabbled away from Arcamus, half falling, bare feet skidding on blood. Arcamus knew that the Alpha Legionnaire was closing behind him. He did not need to look. He dropped his bolter and lunged across the last meters. His hand closed on Hyrakro's arm. The Volkite beam struck his back as he enfolded the screaming human. Energy burned through the casing of his power plant. His armor screamed. Servos and fiber bundles fired and locked, spasming like the muscles of a dying man. Cooling fluid vented. Sparks sprang from the exposed power stacks. Arcamus could feel the skin of his back burning. The smell of cooking flesh and muscle filled his mouth and nose, but his grip on the human did not slacken. He began to stand, muscles straining against the weight of his dying armor. Oathward was still in his hand, the bronzed digits of his machine hand wrapped around the haft of the mace. Alpharius fired again, but the beam skidded wide. His world was graying at the edges, the numbness spreading inwards from his skin. The legionary who had shielded the target was rising, straining with effort. They were almost close enough to touch, but the bulk of the warrior hid the human. Alpharius shifted angle. He might live to fire one more shot. A bolt shell hit him in the back of the hip and punched him forwards onto the floor. He fell, twisting, blood scattered from the ripped joint between hip and thigh. As he landed, he saw the other Imperial Fist lying on the floor where he had fallen, bolt pistol gripped and aimed. The other warrior, the one who had grabbed and shielded the target, loomed above him, the human clutched in one arm, the mace in the other. Alpharius tried to bring his serpenta up. The legionary swung the mace down. Alpharius heard his hand shatter, and a fresh pool of blankness was added to the numbness of his body. The mace crashed into his head and sent him sprawling on the floor face down.
"You have failed, traitor," growled the Imperial Fist.
Alpharius heard the words but felt nothing. He opened his mouth. He could feel fresh blood on his lips.
"We,"
he said, his voice rasping from the speaker grill of his helm.
"We are many, Son of Dawn, and we know you. We know you all."
The numbness and greyness flowed in from the edge of his sight, and then nothing. Arcamus looked down at the legionnaire at his feet. At the other end of the room, Sergeant Sotaro and 9 warriors came through the doors and spread into the chamber. The human hanging from Alchemus's arm whimpered. His gaze did not waver from the body at his feet. The front of the indigo-blue armor had been ripped open from crotch to mid-chest. The explosive impact of multiple bolt shells looked like a swarm of creatures had taken bites out of the ceramite. A wound in the warrior's thigh leaked a spreading pool of blood onto the floor. It would have taken focus and resolve for the warrior to keep moving, let alone fight. "My lord," said Sotaro as he came to Archemus's side.
"Remove his helm," he said, still not looking up.
Sotaro hesitated for a second, then bent down and snapped the helm free from the dead legionnaire. The face underneath was hairless, the features strong but blandly forgettable. The eyes were still open, staring up at Archemus without life. Blood had flowed down the chin from the mouth. Archemus held his dead enemy's gaze.
"Bring in the gunships," he said to Sotaro.
"The fire raptor was lost, and one of the others caught a haywire blast, but it is functioning."
Archemus assimilated the information without pause. He would think about the losses and failures of the mission later.
"Call them in," he said, "and then strip this place. Rip the walls apart, find everything. Data stores, parchment, everything. It goes back to the unbreakable truth. You have 1 hour. Then this place becomes ashes and rubble. No traces. No one sees anything that comes from this place."
Sotaro brought his hand to his heart in salute and then nodded at the corpse that Archemus was still staring at.
"And that?"
"Take it. Put it into stasis and forget that you have seen it."
"Lord,"
said Sotaro and bowed his head. He looked into the dead Alpha Legionnaire's eyes for an instant more and then turned and began to walk towards the doors. His armor clanked as it moved. The flesh of his back had passed from numbness to crawling agony. One of Sotaro's warriors was helping Kestros from the floor. Archemus met the young sergeant's eye and gave a single nod. Sotaro had already begun calling orders into the Vox and marshalling his squad. Two of them fell in beside Archemus as he walked through the manse. Night had still not claimed the last of the lights when he emerged into a courtyard beside the curtain wall. From the moment that the rockets had launched from the gunships, less than 10 minutes had passed. His mind was sifting back through every detail of the engagement, analyzing it for errors, both personal and tactical. Dowager's son, Hierakro, hung unmoving from his shoulder, perhaps finally succumbing to unconsciousness.
"You have him,"
said a voice from the shadows beside the curtain wall. He looked around as Andromeda stepped into sight.
"You were ordered to stay out of the battle area."
"The battle seems to have passed,"
she said, moving next to him but looking at the slumped form of Hierakro. She matched his pace and reached up, pulling the man's hair so that she could look at his unconscious face.
"Hello, little thread," she purred. "Let's see where you lead."